نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على سيدنا مولانا محمد النادي الجود والكرم اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وآله وصحبه وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا مولانا محمد وآله الفا أما
First of all, let's be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has on this blessed month, this great month, in this month, that person came who he was, you could say, the cause of creation. He was the greatest from all the human beings. After him, there was no prophet to come. He was the final prophet. And alhamdulillah, we are in the ummah, the nation of this prophet. And we have been given this honor by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that in these nights, with our normal habit, we get an opportunity also to remember Allah, because it's Allah's fadl, His grace. And this great ibadah, worship of this month, is Durood Sharif. We also get tawfiq, the ability Allah gives us to also recite that. Dalika fadlullahi yu'tihi man yasha. If Allah Ta'ala, He bestows His grace and mercy on whoever He wills. And whoever He gives His mercy to, it's His choice. We are musafir, we are on a journey. And just for a few hours, you could say, we are here in this world. Our body, our life is not in our control, and we have no capacity of our own. A musafir, when he's on a journey, a journeyman, when he's on a journey, a traveler, then wherever he can find some space on the way, it's temporary. It's temporary, the journey. And the musafir, the traveler, his sight is on the end point, the destination, that somehow or other, in a good way, nicely, may I reach to my destination. We are also musafirs, we are travelers. And our destination is not this dunya, is not this world. Our destination is something else. And Allah has told us clearly that during this journey, and it's a beautiful, mashallah, couple of verses, I remember a couplet, that it's a proverb that the human being is like, if you're in the river or the sea, you see that at the coastline, you see like this froth and there's bubbles on the surface of the water. You'll have seen that when the tide comes in, suddenly the tide comes in and there's like bubbles that form on the surface, it starts to float on the water. But after some time, that bubble, it bursts. It bursts. So this is the meaning of our life as well, is that we are living in this dunya, in this life, we are also like a bubble that's floating along the surface. And soon it will burst. And this is not our destination, this is not our end point, this world. It's not our objective. Every traveler, he knows where he is going. So brothers, what is our destination? Where are we going? Our destination is there, about which the Holy Prophet, mashallah, the master of the two worlds, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he stated that keep remembering your death in abundance, regularly. Remember death in abundance, repeatedly remember your death. Allah's Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has told us, instructed us to do this, so that we do not forget our destination, where we're going. If we won't forget our destination, where we're going, then obviously we will remember the preparation to get to that destination, isn't it? The person who forgets his end point, then he gets weak in his preparation, in his readiness. What a beautiful way the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has woken us up, that death is not something to be scared of. Keep remembering death. Keep remembering death. Yes, it's not, you shouldn't be scared and afraid and then you'll forget where you're going. The more you remember your death, like just like another thing I have remembered now, is that when a person remembers something regularly, then he starts to love that thing. If you remember something regularly, so if you keep on remembering death, then the fear of death will be eliminated. This ajiz, this humble servant is saying this. And this is, the more you run away from something and you're afraid and you're trying to get away from it, the more you'll be afraid of it. So we have to go. We have to leave this dunya. So why not remember the hereafter in abundance, so you'll remember that with love, so that when death comes, you won't even realize that you're passing away. So what beautiful education and learning that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has taught us with regards to preparation for the hereafter. So this is it. When the human being, he goes and he arrives to his destination, where does he go after he passes from this world? Where does he go, brothers? Do we know? There are two places only for us to go. There's no third place to go. Just two. When we depart from this world, then from the two we'll go to one place. Either we'll go to hell or we'll go to paradise. There's no third place for us to go to. So this is what the Quran is teaching us. The Quran came to teach this, to prepare us for the hereafter. That's the purpose of the Quran, to train us and teach us and prepare us for the hereafter. If you are doubtful on the Quran, then what preparation are you going to make for the hereafter? And then the fitna and fasad will continue till Qiyamah. The confusion, the disorder, the fitna, ignorance, that's the objective of fitna, is somehow cut this person, break his preparation for the hereafter, and which is our constitution, which is the greatest kitab. There are two things that are guiding us. One is the person of the kitab, and one is the kitab itself. Subhanallah. Sahib-e kitab and the kitab itself. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he is the sahib-e kitab. He is the guide of the kitab. And we have the physical Quran. Both we have, and both, if a person leaves these guides, then will he reach to his destination? Tell me. So if you go and look towards fitna and confusion, you won't get. But the real objective of ours is what? Is that we prepare for our hereafter, and these are the two guides that Allah Ta'ala has given to us. Why? Because doubt is that person who doubts, who hasn't protected himself. Allah Ta'ala has announced that this kitab, I am the protector of this kitab, Allah says, the Quran. All the doubts are evaporated straight away. Allah says, I am the one who protects the Quran. Whoever doubts the Quran, then he is jahil, he is stupid. So, in the Quran, Allah has told us there are two end points, two conclusions. One is hell, Jahannam, and one is Jannah, paradise. Now the Quran has very clearly told us another point. So let's listen further what the Quran is telling us. Now here, why we sat here, these majalis, these gatherings we have on a weekly basis, why we sat here? Always remind us all so that we can pull ourselves together and listen carefully that whatever Allah Ta'ala allows us to listen to. Our objective of coming to this majlis is islah. Islah, rectification. To leave here successfully. What's our objective? Islah. when we listen to what's being discussed, we need to do self-analysis of ourselves. That's why we're sat here. Each and every one of us, we need to analyze ourselves. We should be grateful that Allah has given us an opportunity to come every week. So we should be honest when we finish this majlis and justify our coming here. That what is my life compared to what I've heard today? How much am I practicing what I've heard today? That's the maqsad and objective of this gathering. That's it. There's nothing else. Yes? Wherever you see a defect in your lifestyle compared to what you're hearing, then say to yourself, I'm going to improve myself. And inshallah, you will improve yourself. Allah will accept our sitting here. Our sitting here, or our attending here, or our giving time here. All of this will become high level ibadah worship. Such ibadah this will be that however long you sit here, Allah is constructing, Allah is manufacturing your palaces for you in paradise. If you have this intention. In this day and age, to sit with this fikr concern for a short while and to listen to Allah's deen, or to say something about Allah's deen, this is an incomparable action. In this day and age, this is a massive reward. Allah has given good news. Even the pious predecessors of this silsada, our order, Naqshbandi order, have given great news to the students that consider this as valuable time when you're sitting here. Do you understand what I'm saying? So anyway, what was the first point I said? I will keep on reminding, because we're sat here for Islah. What's the first point? Death. Death will come. This is what will happen, isn't it? The most important thing we need to remind ourselves of. Death. What's the next thing after that? Is our destination. End point, isn't it? And then the beautiful thing is, the third thing is what after that? We should all think, is our destination going to come or not, brothers? Is our death going to come or not? Very few people do fikr on this point, but let's see what the Quran tells us. So our destination, our end point in this world is death. After death, we will go where? Either to hell or to paradise. What does Allah Ta'ala say now about the destination? Via the Quranic teaching. So if I forget, Hafiz, mashallah, the Hufaz are sitting here near me, they will inshallah remind me. I'm just speaking from the Quran, but if there's anything to remind me, then tell me. So Allah Ta'ala says that, listen carefully, you are going to die. This is a fact. And Allah says, I've created paradise and I've created hell. Both abodes. This is a fantastic message that's coming for us. But one thing, remember, Allah says that the situation will be such that in Jannah will be less people, but more people will go to Jahannam. In hell, the men and women will be many times over. They will shriek, hell will shriek, bring more people, I'm not full yet. Hell will cry out and scream out, bring more. What a big warning this is for us. And if you think about Jannah, paradise, where will mostly people go? To Jahannam, to hell. Who is saying this? Allah is saying this direct to us. So will we reject this now? Nobody can reject this. Because we have belief, we have iman. Why is Allah saying this? Allah didn't tell us this to make us scared. Not to pester us or to abuse us. But out of love, Allah is reminding us. Allah is reminding us out of love. Allah is warning us out of love. Correcting us. Why? Because hell, more people will go to hell. Allah says you should have concern and worry. There may not be you who goes into hell. This is the meaning. And this fikr we need to develop. If people more are going into hell, is it me? Am I going to also go into hell? Will I also be going? Because lots of people go there. More people in percentage wise will go to hell. So each and every one of us has to now think, will I go to hell? Am I that woman? Am I that sister? Am I that man for whom Jahannam is destined for me in the hereafter? I have to think like this. So we suddenly get scared. So then the question arises, how will we know? How will we know? Question mark, isn't it? Jahannam, more people are going, and if I'm not in that percentage, so how can I save myself from those people going into Jahannam? That's why we're sat here today, isn't it? To think about this subject, or we sat here for some other reason. How can we save ourselves from going to hell? If my death comes tomorrow, maut, and my destination is Jahannam, then I'm a loser. I'm a loser forever. I'll be in Jannah. Allahu Akbar. Forget about Jannah, paradise. Allah Ta'ala has explained about paradise and the beautiful luxury. Clearly Allah has told us about the two end points. So don't have a false confidence. Oh, I'm going to paradise. It's guaranteed. How can it be? I'll be punished. Think what the Quran is saying.
So here, how can I save myself from hell? How can you and how can we save ourselves from hell? Allah Ta'ala then, mashallah, with His karam, His generosity and mercy has explained to us further. Allah says, okay, I'll tell you. That for which reason more people are going to Jannah. If you learn the reason, then we can enjoy it. Say subhanallah. We can enjoy then, isn't it? We can all rejoice and save ourselves or not, tell me. MashaAllah is an extremely stupid person then, who realizes and learns Allah gives a solution that the fire is about to take place here. Then will a person not see himself? Oh, it's about to burn down. Quickly, quickly, go another way. Because it's going to go, someone's about to attack me, an enemy. Don't go down that route, that path. Leave that alleyway. You say, oh, no, that you're leaving home and the motorway is a place, there's roadworks. You know you're driving, it's blocked, it's closed and you have to get there quickly and hurry. What will you do? You'll change your route. Say subhanallah. You'll change your route, isn't it? So Allah Ta'ala says, that I'll tell you how to save yourself from hell. And the reason for this is that who will go into Jahannam? Ulaika humul ghafilun. Subhanallah. Allah has opened the secret. Allah says in Jahannam, hell, those men and women more will go who are the ghafil people, the negligent people, the lazy people, the ignorant people. So solution has come to us. End of story. So to be saved from Jahannam, we've got the solution. The people, we need to do one action to be saved from hell. Save yourself from ghaflat, from negligence, ignorance. Save yourself from this. Very easy solution now, isn't it? Okay, so this is it. That's good. Alhamdulillah, now Allah has told us the solution. That if you are saved from ghaflat, then you will be saved from hell. And Jahannam's closed for you. The doors are shut. So just one action now we're doing, isn't it? We're sat here. That, oh, how we will never be ignorant again or lazy again. Say subhanallah. That's the solution. That's it. I've got my end point. I've got my objective of life now. I've got my continuous forever destination. I'll do all actions under the sun, Allah, but I won't be negligent and ignorant. Say subhanallah. The person who's not a ghafil, he cannot go into hell. Allah's told us this in the Quran. Say subhanallah. That's it, end of story. End of story. Just don't be a ghafil. So who is the ghafil who practices ignorance, laziness, negligence? Let's understand this point now. I won't speak from my own definition. I won't give you my opinion. No. But we should know who is the ghafil person. Who is the ignorant and lazy person. We should understand the definition. So for us, in our language, we say like susti, you can say laziness is common description of the ghafil person. Look here. There's an example here. Very common word this is. Common word. Oh, look at this person, he's not working, we say in the dunya. He's not working. So he's a ghafil, he's lazy, he doesn't work. I tell him to go to work, my son, he doesn't work. My son, he keeps sleeping and snoring. So what do we call that person? We say he's lazy, that person. Lazy. Everyone in the world's working, he's sat at home, young man, teenager, he doesn't work. What will everybody call him? Yeah, he's very lazy, yaar, this boy. He doesn't do any work. He doesn't move. Bone idle. Useless. Look in the world. From Pakistan, I sent him to Europe. And he started sleeping there. He didn't work in Europe. People have made houses and shops and businesses. And he's very lazy, this boy. He's not doing anything. So will we think he's a good person? Everyone will say bad about him. Look at him in a negative way. So what's this? This is the worldly definition of a lazy person. He's getting dishonored. Say subhanallah. You understand the example I'm giving? I'm trying to explain in a very simple way so we can understand whilst we're here. So he's being wretched, he's becoming ruined and wretched with regards to the people who are, oh, he's a waste of time, this person. And he just sits around and he doesn't work and he's just extremely lazy, negligent person. Waste of space. So laziness is a bad thing, isn't it, brothers? Laziness is a bad thing. When a worldly basis is a bad thing, for sure. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that in a worldly basis, laziness is a bad thing. So with regards to the hereafter, then how bad will laziness be? Tell me. How bad will laziness be? Is such a bad thing, laziness, yes, a person who's a lackluster, makes you dhaleel in this world, and in the hereafter, it will take you to hell. Negligence. Ignorance. Laziness. So what we learn with the name of a believer, the word laziness should never come into the equation of a Muslim's life. Say subhanallah. You shouldn't even imagine a person who's got laziness attached to him, then he's going towards Jahannam. That's it. Say subhanallah. Now we need to see the scene, the description. Okay, let's pray salah. Yaar, why are you to me? Why don't you pray salah? Oh, I don't feel like it. I want to, but I just don't feel like it. People say, nobody will reject that we should pray salah or come to Fajr salah. Yaar, it's just too lazy. I tried to get up at that time, but laziness has just overwhelmed me. I can't do it. That's the answer. Every action that a person's encouraged to do, whatever are the orders, the ahkams of Allah, a person who doesn't practice them, one word that is utilized to earn hell, what is that? Oh, yaar, I don't feel like it. I'm just lazy. I can't do it. I can't do it. I can't be asked. Whoever uses this terminology with regards to that person, the Quran says that this person is going to hell. Laziness, ignorance and laziness, how can this be related to a believer? Allah's orders are being revealed and he says, I can't be asked. I don't feel like it. Can you compare the two? Look here, how the Quran explains to us this in this verse. So this laziness, this word is not in the dictionary of Islam. Laziness, negligence, ignorance. Whatever Allah Ta'ala, your Creator is ordering you, how can you dare to say that I don't feel like doing it? How? Such a big excuse. Such a big excuse and such an excuse. That same human being, upon whom Allah Ta'ala says, I was proud of you, human being. Allah said, I made you with my own hands. And I put your soul, I blew your soul into you. And the high level angels at that time, I made them prostrate in front of you. Prostrate in front of you. And I elevated you so much that there's no comparison, Allah says, oh human being. And today you stand there stubbornly when I order you, pray salah, you say, don't feel like it. So Allah says, do you think I'm going to release you then? Allah says, أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْغَافِلُونَ. You will go into the lowest, most pit of Jahannam. Now you tell me. Do you understand now who are the ghafileen? Who are the lazy people? Do you understand the definition now? Will anyone say now I don't feel like doing it? To understand this, after knowing this, if someone says I don't feel like I'm lazy, then you'll say, Subhanallah, what nonsense you are talking. Okay. This excuse, everyone accepts this excuse. Everyone today in this lineage, oh yaar, I'm just too lazy, my son. I tell him, but he's lazy. We just take this so slightly. The Quran is presenting this disease to us so clearly. Why? Because today we have left the Quran after utilizing this definition. Allah says, ponder of the Quran, that the tadabbur on the Quran is ended. The tadabbur, reflection, analysis. We have forgotten the Quran. Other thousands of things we'll do in the dunya. Thousands of things. Everything we will reject from the Quran. Everything in the dunya is greater than the Quran for us. But remember, the Quran is the greatest. Nothing can compare to the Quran. The Quran is the greatest fact, the greatest guidance. Alif Lam Mim Dhalikal Kitabu La Rayba Fihi. Allah says, this Quran was revealed. Every point in every letter, every nukta, you cannot compare to the Quran. And there's no debate in this. The fadail of the Quran, no one debates. But the debate we're having right now is the reason I gave you the Quran. How did you utilize the Quran for its real purpose? Allah says. Am I right or am I wrong? Tell me. Am I right or am I wrong? Allah says, I don't need you to praise the Quran. Who are you to praise the Quran, human being? I don't need your praises, Allah says. Allah says, your akal, your brains and intellect and capacity cannot praise me. Allah says, you can't understand me. You can't understand my Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Nor can you understand his Quran. You can't realize the truthness of it. Am I right or am I wrong? Tell me. So who are you trying to ride your horse and gallop along saying that you understand the deen? You need to learn for which purpose I gave you life and what I gave you the Quran for. Let's just study that point. And we have no fikr about that. No concern. What a great message the Quran is giving to us. Great message. That individual, forget about Jannah, paradise. Allah says he's Jahannami, and the most people will go into hell are those men and women, those people who, when Allah's ahkams come, they give one sentence answer. I'm too lazy, I can't be asked, I try but I can't do it, I don't feel like it. So much we dare as a human being to give this answer. We dare to say this. And when a person says these words, then close your ears, put something in your ears with regards to that person when he answers you like that. Seal your ears. Close your ears. this waste of time person, I shouldn't even be listening to his words. Leave this person. That's what that person deserves. I'm talking to you about the Quran. I'm not giving you some fake story here. This is the challenge of the Quran. Straightforward. This is not a sect in Islam or firqa. Straightforward verse of the Quran. So Allah says that most people will go to the hellfire from the insan. And the reason most people go to hell? Laziness, neglect, ignorance. And I've told you the reason for it. Every action, in front of every action, we give the same excuse. I can't get up in the morning, I'm lazy. I can't do this action, I can't pray in congregation. I pray at home, I'm lazy. I can't go to the masjid to pray, I'm lazy. Salah, such an action, Allah Ta'ala has given complete description. Complete description, detail, instruction of how to pray Salah. Allah's given that teaching to the Prophet ﷺ. You have to pray Salah. You have to pray Salah in Jama'ah, in the masjid. You have to go to the masjid and pray. No choice. This is the order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala regards to Salah. Order. Forget about the rest of the ibadat, because the biggest point here, the person whose Salah is correct, the rest of his ibadah will be correct. This ibadah, Salah, such a color and effect is that the human being's real essence and true colors are shown by his Salah. If a person doesn't pray Salah in Jama'ah, a Muslim, and he rejects Salah in Jama'at, congregation, and he doesn't pray in the masjid, and he rejects that, and he leaves the congregation prayer, and he rejects the importance of going to the masjid. Forget about praying Salah. Does his right that he should stand on the musalla and be the imam of the Salah, and behind him people pray Salah? And people in big quantities pray behind him. If when this starts in the ummah, then consider Qiyamah has come to our heads at that point. Salah, these are the conditions of Salah. That person's Salah is not complete. The imam has some conditions he has to fulfill. And if openly a person knows that this person leaves Jama'at, he doesn't pray in Jama'at, he doesn't pray in congregation, and he doesn't practice the Sunnah, and he lies and he deceives, and he stands and he's imam and leads the people in prayer. In your masjid, he leads the Jummah Salah. When this deen comes, my friends, this is what Allah Ta'ala is talking about here. That Jahannam will be filled with the people. Why? Because sharam, shame, haya, modesty will have been eliminated in the Quran. Today he's telling us this. Yeah? Shall I continue? Shall we continue or shall I stop here? Shall we continue or shall I stop here? Shall we complete this description Allah is giving? First I said that Jahannam, Allah said, I will fill with the people, mostly. Why? Allah has given the reason. Because negligence, ignorance, laziness, they destroy their ibadah, their worship. There's no flexibility on these points. There's no flexibility here, Allah says, left or right. One, the straightforward instructions. Now, Allah Ta'ala says, so if you know what is the ghafil and what is the real actual crux of a ghafil, what is the definition of the lazy person? Allah explains, what is the condition of that person? What emotions does he pass through the ghafil? He says, I'm lazy, lazy, I don't feel like... Allah says, I'll explain to you the root cause of this lazy person. The root cause. Say subhanAllah. Allah says, لَا يَفْقَهُونَ لَا يُبْصِرُونَ لَا يَسْمَعُونَ. Explain, Allah explains through these words. Allah says, that heart that I have put inside the body of the human being, the heart, his flesh, which should be absorbed with marifah and irfan and connection with Allah. One mu'min, a believer, his heart, the heart of a believer is such a great, great organ, full of the safat and the qualities that Allah Ta'ala has given to him. It should be. The Allah says, in this heart, that marifat and connection and nearness to me I've inserted, capacity for that. That this heart, when the mu'min, the believer, utilizes his heart correctly, manquti, that all his qualities and characteristics that he should have in his heart. Allah says, it's the fountain of irfan. Allah says that that's the place where you will find my nearness, the heart of the believer. This is the reality of the heart of a believer, of a person who has iman, belief. That's the reality of the heart of a believer. That's what the state should be. That the heart of a believer should be full of the haq. The heart of the believer pulls on the haq. It pulls on the haq. It absorbs the haq, the truth inside it, the heart of a believer. Allah's ahkams, Allah's orders, the heart pulls on Allah's orders. It sucks in Allah's orders. It is full of noor. That Allah says, this is the capacity I've given to the heart of the believer. This is our heart that we've got inside us. The reality. But when the mu'min becomes a ghafil, lazy and ignorant, and when he becomes a ghafil, then what happens? Allah says, la yafqahoon. Then all of the capacity and the qualities of his heart, they are eliminated. They are finished, diminished, due to his laziness and ignorance. Everything falls asleep. Everything goes into dormant mode. Allah says, I was proud of this human being. I was proud. Everything of his goes down to zero. Like a tire that deflates. He has no idea at that time about halal and haram. He has totally lost manners regards to halal and haram. No recognition of halal and haram. Immodesty. Immodesty. I'll give you an example. That yesterday, tomorrow, if I have to answer about my salah, I say, oh, forget about Jannah, paradise. It's okay, I can do what I want in this dunya. No one's here to ask me. Because the reality of the reflection of the heart, what's the biggest action that demonstrates the heart state? Fear. If there's no fear in the heart, then that heart is finished. If there's no fear in the haram, halal, no distinguishing. 10,000 times you can tell that person, it will not penetrate his heart. It will not penetrate his heart. The Quran is telling us this. La yafqahoon, Allah says. No fear at all, no recognition, no awareness. Yeah, it just totally goes in one ear, comes out of the other. The Quran is this telling us this or not tell me? Mufti Saab, Mulana Saab is not telling us this. Quran is telling us this. Next point. As I said to you, this majlis we're sitting, this gathering, let's remind ourselves, each and every one of us have come here to analyze ourselves. Is my heart like this today while I'm sitting here? Have I gone into that group of people? Look towards your heart and think. What's the state of my heart? Have I got haya in my heart? Have I got modesty? Do I have true understanding of deen? Am I afraid when I'm trimming and shaving my beard? When a sister doesn't adopt parda? Or when we go towards haram and consume it? Do we feel afraid? That's why we have this majlis, to ask ourselves these questions. Allah says, la yafqahoon, you are totally an animal, useless. You are totally, your recognition and awareness has evaporated. That don't have any effect when you tell people these things. So a person like me, I can't speak. I am not worthy of speaking. So we have to ask Allah, why are you telling us this message? Why are you giving us this message? For this reason, this is not a lecture, because I'm speaking from the Quran direct. This is not a lecture, a speech I'm giving. This is not a conference. To such a person who has no akal, who doesn't understand, the person who doesn't understand Allah's instruction, the Prophet ﷺ's instruction, and the orders coming, he says, no, I'll do what I feel like doing. Don't tell me what to do. I'll live like this. I'll make my face like this. I'll wear the dress what I want. I'll wear the clothes what I want. I'll practice deen what I feel like it. I'm not aware of this deen you're saying. Allah says, la yafqahoon, because his heart is totally, the characteristics have gone. Yes, doesn't matter how much he shouts, he's empty box. La yufsurun, Allah says. Yes, his eyes. What a beautiful organ Allah has given to us, the asset of the eyes. What qualities Allah has given to our eyes, the power, the vision. Vision. So much noor there is in the eyes. Light. A person can envision things and see good things. For the mu'min, the believer, this eye has such a quality that when he lifts his eyes, he can see the arsh of Allah. When he lowers his eyes, he can look towards the layers of the earth Allah Ta'ala has created. This is the power Allah has given to the believer. But what is the situation? He's not got that impact today. The real purpose that Allah Ta'ala gave us the eyesight for, what Allah Ta'ala wants us to utilize it for positively, but we don't have that reality in our vision today. We don't have that. There's veils across our eyes today. Veils. Curtains. So this is the reality today, that we don't have the vision of the two eyes that we have. We are looking at other things today with our eyes. This is not the case. Listen to this clearly. The real eyes in this. This is the purpose of our eyes that Allah Ta'ala has just given us. Two sockets and two balls that have gone into the eyes. Where does the vision take us? The real eye, the way the mu'min uses his eyesight, is even if we don't have the eyes in the socket, no difference would be made to the believer. To the believer. Even if you don't have the physical eye in the socket, if you understand the reality of the deen that Allah has given to us, even if you're blind, you will see such things that even the eye that works, he cannot see. The believer. So this point, remember this, it's not about the physical eye that you got, your eyelid, your Hazrat. Mawlana Rashid Ahmad Gangohi Sahib Rahmatullah, he couldn't see in his final years of his life. He was almost blind. Hazrat Gangohi Sahib Rahmatullah. But mashallah, he had the vision, he had the reflection, he had the analysis that with the eyes of his heart, he could see further than what the mu'min could see. So mashallah, the person used to come in front of us. Remember Mohsin Sahib? He comes to the gathering. He's blind, isn't he? Who comes to his gathering? Look at his maqam. Mohsin Sahib. It's not that he's dependent on other people. No. His eyes are physically shut. He goes towards the dunya. So, mashallah, there's another eyesight which is related to the hereafter. And that gives you greater success and reward. But the person who doesn't want to practice, he's useless. Doesn't matter how strong his eyesight is. Doesn't want to practice, just he's living in the world to eat and drink and enjoy. So eat, drink, marry kids and just enjoy your life and nothing else do we have to do. Who said this? This is what Allah is explaining to us in the Quran today. Don't fall into deception and live a drama life. The hal I've given you, then work hard and do the right things that Allah says, I'll elevate you so high that you cannot compare. But no, we don't want to listen. Leave haram, Allah says. Leave being an animal. Leave the sins. Leave the dunya, the love for the dunya, and see Allah says, with these eyes I've given to you, the heights I take you to. Yeah, haven't people become great walis of Allah? They don't want to do dhikr, just run after dunya, greed, and just run after the dunya. What will you achieve? Allah says. Yes, nobody is disabled in any way, Allah says. No one's disabled, it's impossible. Allah says, this is me who gives different abilities to different people. La yubsirun, Allah says, they can't see. They wander around in the dunya like animals, they've just got their eyesight. But they're not looking at the right things. They haven't got the right vision. La yafqahun, la yubsirun, Allah says. La yasmaun, Allah says. O zalim, Allah says. Oppressors. They've got ears. They keep them open. But never do they listen to the adhan, the call to prayer. Never do they have concern. Allah's calling me, Allah's calling me, Allah's inviting me. Never. They just stood there. Maybe, I can't go to the masjid. Allah's made a law that there's no excuse. That if the azan, you hear it, the question does not arise. Oh no, I've got to go to work. What work? What work? What do you mean I've got to go to work? Don't try. There's no condition that, if you're in such a place working, there are Sharia valid points that Allah Ta'ala has declared that do allow you. For example, if you're working for a non-Muslim, he's strict, or you live in a remote location, or he says, I will suspend you, or give you the sack, and you lose the job. So if there's so much strictness and it's hard, he doesn't let you go to the masjid to pray, or you're living in such a place that you're not allowed, and that you're just doing sujood there and praying there, that's fair enough. That's when Sharia allows that. But there's no excuse that still you should have told Talmiyyah at the same time in parallel, look for a job where you can still go to the masjid to pray. There's no excuse, I'll pray here forever. It's haram, for example, if you're not working and you're not going to the masjid, that food that's going into your stomach without earnings, that you're not going to the masjid to pray salah, you're earning the haram musals, equivalent to the swine, you could say. Equivalent to the sign. If you get an opportunity where there's a Muslim, you have a good environment, you could go to the masjid to pray, then what excuse do you have to not to pray in the masjid? Who's stopping you now? Who's stopping you now? So will your boss stop you? He say, it's my break time, I want to go to the masjid. But we don't go. We make excuses. Tell me. So this is what I'm saying, that these people, totally, they diminished all the qualities and the organs I've given them because it's the love of the dunya, the deception of this world. But Allah says, in the muqaddar, in the destiny, I've written hell. So this is something to worry about today, isn't it? Is there anyone from amongst us lot who does this? That we stand openly, stubbornly, we don't go and pray Salah in the masjid? Is that, I won't tell you to put your hands up, but is there anyone here who doesn't pray in the masjid? If you are, then it's sad to say on your faces and our lives. It's sad. There's no more strict words to say than this. A fellow like this, that despite explaining so much, you don't understand this much, what is the importance of salah? That person more blind and deaf and dumb than this you're going to find in the world. Allah's given an example of this. Though who are these people? Allah says, I'll tell you who these people are. Allah says, I'll tell you who these people are. Allah says, Ulaika kal an'am. Allah says, they're animals, these people. They're animals. Do you understand the word? Such people who pray salah, they leave salah in the masjid, they listen to Allah's orders, they reject them, they don't think about them, and they sway away from them. Allah says, they are animals, these human beings. Leave these people, they're wild animals. Declared, Allah has declared, I swear by Allah, their faces become like animals. I'm sitting in the masjid and saying this. Those who do these actions, their faces are like animals. As the Shaykh Abdul Aziz rahmatullahi was a great wali of Allah. Shah Abdul Aziz, I'll tell you his story. I've told you this before. He used to walk around in town and his face, he would cover it with the rumal, with the parna. And somebody said, Hazrat, you go to the masjid, why do you cover your face with the sheet, with the cloak? Somebody asked him. He said, let's sit here. When you sit in the masjid, your face is covered with the sheet. Why is that? When you give the khutbah of the Jummah, why do you cover your face? What's the reason the sheet's dropping? He said, I'll tell you next Jummah. Then asked me at that time. It's written in the kitab. Read this for yourself. Dogs and cats, the people's faces become, due to their deeds and actions, their faces become like dogs and cats. In this dunya. In this dunya. Definitely in the Quran, this explanation that Allah Ta'ala has prohibited. There was a village of people. Between a Tur and one other location, and in that village there was a people who used to live, a group of people who used to live, and what was their food? It was fish. They used to, you know, go fishing. So Allah Ta'ala always tests the people when He gives them the ni'mas. So the very nice fish used to come regularly to them. So Allah said, okay, fine, that on the day of Saturday you are not going to go fishing, and the rest of the days you can. And Allah said to them, leave that day. Allah gave the instruction. Then what happened? They, you know, when you start playing games and try to trick and deceive, try to take shortcuts with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes, listen how big a sin this is, to try to deceive and trick. Can anyone trick and deceive Allah? Take shortcuts in the deen? Look at this example. So what did they do? That at the same time, they made like a little sort of cut in the coastline so that when the fish come in on the Saturday, they could lay out the nets and they will come into that trap, and that the fish have come in, then on Sunday we will go and pull them in. So they made a little sort of get out clause, you could say. So they're trying to deceive Allah, trick Allah. Think about this now, Ummah, how much do we try to deceive Allah? Yeah, how many tricks do we play? How much fruit there is in our deen? In our life, just one life, Allah's orders come. Just close your eyes and blindly follow Allah's orders. Allah says, there's no profit and loss in my instructions. No profit and loss related to my instructions. Otherwise, be ready for the punishments, Allah says. Be ready. What a small thing is for us, playing games day and night. We trick and play games and we oppose Allah's orders and ahkams. And what does the Quran say? That same time, immediately, with those people, the punishment that Allah Ta'ala gave, what was the punishment? The whole group of people, Allah made them like monkeys and apes. This is written in the event, in the story. Allah changed them to apes and monkeys. When Allah prohibited them, they had no shame. Yeah, there are some good people amongst them, though, always. Don't do this, they said. Don't do this, be careful. Just like even now, there are good people. Don't cut your beard. Don't trim your beard. Sister, don't take off the parda. Don't leave salah. People say this, don't they, good people? So Allah Ta'ala put those good people to one side. What did they do? They do. Allah said, don't meet them. And they made a wall in between them and the bad people. They were on one side, they were on the other side. Allah separate them. Then one day thought, we can't hear them. What's happened to those people on the other side of the wall? Those people who disobeyed and tricked Allah because they were fishing on the day Allah Ta'ala prohibited. And Allah said, don't do this. Don't play games. Don't try to do drama. Oh, I'll leave this. They said, we do what we want. Allah didn't tell us that we can't do this. So they were separated from the good people. Yes, and they became proud and they became envious of, and that they made their own walls. So to meet such people, immediately detach. When you see there are people like this who are stubborn and arrogant, then leave them. Because the azab, they are immersed and drowning in the azab. They are playing games with Allah. Islam, I'm teaching to you, my friends, this is the message of Islam. Yes, don't play games and contaminate the deen. Don't mix the deen. Straightforward deen of Islam. I said you two paths. The path to hell or the path to heaven. That's it. So analyze and reflect yourself. Reflect yourself. Doesn't matter what face you make, what appearance you make, but you will get according to the deeds and according to how you practice Allah's orders. So they were separate. They said, leave these good people, these pious people. Yet they were more. Remember, always more in quantity are those who do the wrong. And they were less the good people. So they were separate. They said, make a wall. Make your wall. Allah's unhappy with you. We don't want to listen to you. So they could hear them on their side of the wall, enjoying, catching the fish on the day of Saturday, eating, drinking, rejoicing. Allah Ta'ala gave them another chance. So they can understand. They didn't understand. So one day they saw that we can't hear them anymore. The good people were thinking, on the other side of the wall, we can't hear them, those people. What's happened? The noise, the enjoyment, the clamor. Well, we can't hear this anymore. Where have they gone? The Quran, I'm telling you this, read this event. You can read this in the history. So they put their ears and they said, we can't hear them. They said, let's look over the other side. When they looked over the other side, immediately they saw the scene, it transformed. They saw the monkey faces. And those monkeys recognized them. They were crying, the apes. They were crying. Totally apes, monkey, qawm they became. And they could see them. They were crying that we've gone, we're finished. Adab of Allah has come. The hadith it stated, some days Allah kept them alive like this. After that, all of them were wiped away. Hazrat Mulana Abdul Aziz Sahib Ramdai said, I'll tell you next week. Back to that incident. So when he went, then he took his imamah off and put his imam on his head. There's a big point here. The Allah wala, the friends of Allah, in every action, Allah Ta'ala has put great impact in the actions of the awliya Allah. Great impact. That whoever follows the deen of Allah, you know the people who practice the deen, they're not lafkahun. Those whose hearts are made, whose vision is proper, superior. Do you understand? Whose ears are proper ears. Their every organ is nurani. Every limb is nurani. Because they're practiced from what Allah Ta'ala has told them. That's why. Yes, they've understood the reality of the life, that why have we come to planet Earth? And they've understood their deficiencies and their wrongdoings. And they've understood that every human being has the ability to do wrong. Every human being Allah Ta'ala has created like this, who can do good and bad. Whoever recognizes what he's here for, then he becomes Khwaja Mohinuddin Chishti. He becomes Abdul Qadir Jilani. He becomes Mujaddad al-Afthani. He becomes Ali Murtaza. Why? Because he's recognized who he is. That Allah, you sent me for this reason. My life should be different, unique. I'm here for a purpose. They stay hungry, thirsty, and they say, I won't eat haram, I won't lie, because I've recognized who I am, I've recognized my reality that Allah's given to me. Yes, and all of us can be like this. All of us can be like this. Whoever today, if you, brothers, if everyone listening today understands that why has Allah sent me to the earth, look for the path, seek the solution, I swear by Allah, the same nur will come into each and every one of us sitting here. The same nur. Oh, no, Allah wanted to make him waliyah, not us. You know these excuses we make. This is going to take us towards Jahannam. The people who become bandar, the apes and swine, they are those who don't try, who give up. We make excuses. You understand? So the meaning of the hadith is that you have courage and make effort. Allah says, I'll give you my rahmah mercy. But we don't want to work hard. We don't want to make it. Why should we leave haram, we say? Why? Why should I go and leave the things in the dunya that I've got today? Why should I live my life according to the hadith? The person, the human being, he is given pain to himself. As soon as you practice the deen Allah has given to us, our capacity, our ability, Allah Ta'ala will dial us and steer us towards Jannah, paradise, and Allah created us and I was proud. Suddenly we will come into the real life that Allah gave to us and we will be alert. And you will go towards the right way and you will go towards that path that takes to paradise. Every one of us has the capacity. It's no special person who Allah has made to practice the deen. The whole of humanity has that capacity. So those, when he put his imamah on the head of that man, then he screamed out. He said, please take your imamah back. Someone he could see like a monkey, a donkey, a swine. Because their actions, Allah Ta'ala showed that they become like animals. If you leave salah, if you leave prayer, if you don't come to the masjid, then Allah's azab will come, punishment. Allah says, then am I not reminding you through the azan, the call to prayer? Do you know the value of 5 times salah? Allah says the value of 5 times salah is this, that when the azan used to be given in Medina, Sharif as a Balal, then the Prophet ﷺ's face would transform. The Prophet ﷺ, imagine the greatest human being. And as Aisha radiallahu anha said that he, when he was in our homes and he heard the azan, it was like he's not living with us, because he said, I can hear my Malik, I have no connection with anybody now. Nobody. And today's Muslim, he'll prostrate where he works, he'll prostrate where he is. And he says, no, there's no one greater than me earning, running a business. I know what I'm doing. Why? Because in reality, with these people, ulaika, Allah says, they've become animals. And Allah has given examples of the animals in the stories of old. They're donkeys. Their faces, mouths, they're like donkeys when they do things like this against the deen. And he thinks he's a human being. And he said, Allah is saying, no, he's an animal, this man. He's an animal. Don't think he's a human being. Those orders I've given, instructed, when he breaks the orders, if you consider he's a human being, he's an animal, and he's a typical animal on earth. He is. Typical animal, Allah says. Allah has defined that person as animal. I'll repeat that. Why? Because the animal, he is living a life within a boundary. He follows shahawat, the lust and desires. Animal follows the desires. He doesn't know anything else. All the way he'll just eat the grass, graze in the fields, and shahawat and lust and desires and enjoyment. Allah says the human being, he's an animal when he doesn't follow Allah's ahkams. Their every action is according to the direction of the lusts and the desires. And dunya and material things, they can't come out of the sphere of the dunya, subhanAllah. They can't come out of the sphere of the dunya. When they think of doing actions, it's dunya. When they use their brains, always calculating, yaar, I want this much money, I want to do this, I want to go to that country, I'll do this much here, I'll earn this much there. Apart from dunya in their life, about for earning dunya and money, there's no topic in their brains and their actions, in their mouths, in their thinking, not at all. Just fikr dunya. Their deen is dunya, their religion is dunya, their Quran is dunya. They're walking around and wandering around is dunya. They are just living in a boundary like the animal, and you can't imagine what their life's like. Oh, I'm going to do this today, I'm going to do that day, I want to get this profit, this fame. And apart from this, there's no other objective, they have no other thinking. Just a cycle of dunya. Maybe for a few seconds they get a bit of deen to satisfy their brains. But the quality and capacity Allah has given to the human being, they don't have that at all. That's totally evaporated. Yes, they are immersed and drowned in the temporary dunya. Say subhanAllah. This is the Quran I'm reading, my friends. It's nothing else. Yes, otherwise you can sit me up. I'm just telling you, this is the verse I recited in the beginning, and then you'll understand. Then tell me if I'm reading it wrong or right. Tell me. So Allah says they're all animals. Then further Allah says, subhanAllah. Allah says, what are you saying? They're not animals. I've said animal, rather, I've disrespected the animals. They're worse than the animals, Allah says. Let's go another step. Allah says, animals, this is disrespect of using the word animal for that person. Rather, they're worse than the animals. Why? Because these human beings, so many rewards are gave to the human beings, Allah says. So many treasures, intellect, eyes, brain, understanding, freedom, aqal, wisdom, Quran, the prophets, I gave the final prophet, everything I gave them. I gave them food to eat, I gave them fruits and vegetables, and Allah says, I don't grab them quickly, I forgive their sins. Everything, I've looked over their sins, and what have I given to the animals? Nothing. Even after this, they are taking the qualities of the animal. The animals are more understanding, they never disobey their creator. Whenever I want, they give their milk. Whenever you want, you take the eggs from the chicken. Whenever you want, you take the honey from the wasp, from the bee. The animal will never reject. If you slaughter the chicken, it will be slaughtered. It will never reject. But Allah says, these human beings, that morning and evening their Lord is given the reward and they're living their life in disobedience. Do you understand what I'm saying? The Quran is saying, my friends, straightforward explanation. Read the Quran in this manner. Do you understand the word? Straightforward understanding. So now let's do reflection. Don't look left and right. Look into yourself. This is not a habit. Look at this brother. Look at this person. Look at that sister. No. Do self-reflection. Think others are better than you. Do your own analysis. That where am I stood today? Yes. Oh, am I married? Am I living in this world to get married, have kids and make money and eat food? Is this what we're in this world for? What excuse do we have? Can't you grab a tasbih? Can't you see the tasbih? Can't you do dhikr? Does dhikr not take place every day? Is Allah Ta'ala's mashallah irfan and nearness not attained through dhikr? How are you living your life? No one is dependent on anything. Allah's marifat is such a noor, a light, alhamdulillah, that everything Allah Ta'ala illuminates and revives through His remembrance. And the rest of the world, mashallah, everything will functionalize. We understand all the technicalities, marriage, women, how to have a family. But no, I don't understand the hadith of dhikr. Wow, subhanallah, servant of Allah. You understand A to Z how to run around in the dunya and to be successful, say subhanallah. Why do we waste our lives? Here we are wretched and in the hereafter we'll be wretched. This dunya, we're living a wretched life and in the hereafter there'll be wretchedness and ruin. So how can we trust ourselves? Is the Quran telling us a lie? Is the Quran telling us a lie? Is the Quran telling us false? Think for a few moments. Allah says that these people, that we're disrespecting the word animal by saying that these men are animals. They are worse than animals. Tell me if a human being is in this situation in the hereafter, what will happen to that person? So all of this, why has this occurred? Because the human being, how did he get to this lowest ebb? What's the reason behind all of this? Tell me what's the reason behind all of this? What was the thing lacking in that person? What was it? Laziness. Let's not forget that all of this conclusion is due to his ignorance and laziness and neglect. No, no, no. No, no, no. This is the reason. Yes, a person who leaves salah in jamaat, a person who doesn't pray his salah in the morning, laziness. Person who prays salah in his home, or in his shops, in his factory, workplace, business place, he doesn't walk 4 steps to the masjid, it's raining, I can't pray, let's do jamaat in the office. Has Allah ordered you, allow you to do this? Tell me, Allah has made a law that you cannot pray in the house. Yes, maybe you're sick, severely sick. You know the Sharia excuses, that's fine. But around that, that person, there is some flexibility. A beautiful point I'm telling you here. There is, you can do it, but the greatness is that even then you should come to the masjid to pray in salah. Even then if you're in a bad state, a poor state, even then you should arrive if you can. Physically. Yes, mashallah. Wherever you are, wherever the masjid is, the house of Allah near you, Allah has invited you, arrive there. We don't come to the masjid. Yes, everywhere for us is a masjid where our Rabb is inviting us. That is the house of Allah. To pray. Yes, yes. What was there beforehand? Was there any brick walls? Were there any roofs over their heads? Yes. Were there mattresses there for to sleep? Were there carpets there? No. But subhanallah. When Musa alayhi salam asked him, what was Tur at that time? Well, it was like rocks, mountain. Wherever Allah Ta'ala calls, come to me. Musa alayhi salam arrived there. This is the best place in the dunya. Allah is inviting me here. Masjid. Why does the masjid look like a beloved place for a Muslim? Because it's decorated, nice marble, carpet. No. The masjid is a beautiful place because Allah is calling the believers from here. When that call to prayer will stop, then this masjid, the decoration, is nothing related to me. Everywhere where Allah Ta'ala is calling me to go there, that place is the greatest for me. Where Allah Ta'ala is inviting. Because it's the connection with Allah that makes it great. Not the place, it's the connection with Allah. Say subhanallah. Do you understand what I'm saying? So will we leave praying salah in jama'at congregation? Otherwise you'll be donkeys and dogs if you don't listen to what I'm saying today. If you don't pray salah in the masjid. Will we come and pray salah in the jama'at and the congregation? Every salah must be prayed in jama'at congregation. Doesn't matter where you're working. Otherwise the monkeys and the dogs and there's nothing left. Swine. Yes, your earnings is haram. And the effects of that, not today, tomorrow, you will see
inshallah, that what is the condition during your own life, those earnings for which you discarded and shunned the masjid. You think that you have the haq to lead the salah, you are wiping away the salah, you're leading Jummah. There's a wretchedness on this, lanat, curse on this. A person who doesn't have awareness that I'm a sinful person, I don't even have the ability, I'm not deserving that I can do this. Oh, but what will the dunya say? Dunya is for 4 days, my friends. Do you know the azab you are earning today? And those people who push them, oh, mashallah, how much azab will come on those people? Those people who praise those people, those so-called leaders, who praise them, elevate them. You understand what I'm saying? Am I right or am I wrong? Tell me. Yes. For the sake of Allah, recognize death. Why are you running after dunya and everything? This deen and dunya mix? You're looking for dunya in your deen just to make a noise? To become famous? The thing you're not deserved of, you want to become deserved of them? You think you're deserved of them? Those who are deserved, who are worthy of title, they're scared of that title. They tremble and shake. They try to hide. The true people, such a place, great place, I'm standing at the front and all these stuff behind me, people praying, is stated, who are these people? They're animals. Allah says they have no awareness. Who are the people to define them? Push them out of that place. Push them out of that place. Why? Because the animal, he has shahawat and desires, just following desires day and night. Dunya, dunya, let me do this, let me do that, let me go there, then I'll earn this and I'll do that, I'll become this and they'll recognize me. Total animal life. So that person is stuck in that circle of life, that sphere. What's that beautiful share? That mashallah, beyond the stars they cannot see and they're just restricted from within the circle of life. They think that this life is temporary, brothers. That life beyond this dunya is the greatest dunya. And this is where we sacrifice to get the hereafter. Ask. Hazrat Khwaja Mohinuddin Chishti rahmatullah. That Jannah, was it here or was it there in the hereafter? Subhanallah. Yes. The friends of Allah ask them that this mashallah, even in this world while they're living, they are given the practice so they can prepare for the paradise in the hereafter. So, what was the subject, my friends, today? All of this destruction is due to what root cause? What's the reason? What's the factor? Laziness? Negligence? Ulaika humul ghafilun. This is what Allah says in the Quran, isn't it? Now, Allah Ta'ala has pity on us. Allah says, I'll give you the solution so you can get out of this trap of laziness. Say subhanAllah. Yes, if you are living this monkey life, animal life, your ears are sealed. And your mouths are sealed, your eyes are sealed. Okay, fine, Allah says, I'll give you the cure, the solution. Will you practice the solution? Will you practice the solution Allah is asking you today sitting here? Do you want to take the solution? Then at least put your hands up. Put your hands up if you want the solution. MashaAllah. Okay, now listen to Allah Ta'ala's address. This is not Mawlana, doctor telling us. Allah is telling us. Allah says the solution is that do my dhikr and that's all you need to do. Do my dhikr. Remember me. Who is saying this? Who is saying this? Like I invite you to dhikr, isn't it? Who is calling you here now today? Who is calling you here? Allah is inviting. Allah is saying this. That I've explained everything to you. I'm telling you the cure. If you want to get rid of laziness, ignorance, only one solution. Dhikrullah is the solution. The one and only solution. Dhikrullah. Shall I show you from the Quran? This verse can continue towards that direction. I said, Mawlana Sahib, does this verse come afterwards or not? Tell me. Mawlana Sahib said, yes, it is. Allah says, وَلِلَّهِ أَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى فَقُلْ. Allah says, that say subhanAllah. Glorify me. Allah says, if you want to be safe from an animal life, then do my dhikr, Allah says. Has Allah said this or not? Tell me. Yes. Study the Quran. That if you want to be saved and get out of the trap of the monkey ape life, the human being, do you want to become like the monkeys and apes, like that tribe of people? If you want to be saved from an animal life, then Allah says, do my dhikr. وَلِلَّهِ أَسْمَى الْحُسْنَى فَدْهُ بِهَا. Allah says, say my name, do my dhikr, and do the dhikr the way you want, you do my remembrance. Allah, see how I inject the nur, the light into your heart. You'll become alive. The Quran is telling us this. Allah says, do my dhikr. Do you understand now the point? Why do we do dhikr, mashallah? Do you understand the reason?
Why Allah Ta'ala, why do we invite towards dhikr? For this reason, we are weak, we're drowning in the dunya, we're lazy, the padlocks on the house, as soon as we sit in dhikr, the padlocks get unlocked, and mashallah, Jannah comes towards us. Allah Ta'ala has put such a great effect in His dhikr, in His remembrance. Allah says, Fadu biha, that say my name. Allah says, just recite my name. Asma'ul Husna, Allah says, every name of mine is beautiful, excellent. Subhanallah. Allah says, Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, Qadir, whichever name you keep reciting is beautiful. These are all Asma'ul Husna, Allah says. My beautiful names. Every name within the names of Allah, Tajalliyat, His magnificence, it spreads. One name of Allah, you cannot reach to the reality of just one name of Allah. We cannot reach to it. We cannot recognize the reality of just one of the names of Allah. Every name of Allah is as Tajalli, which descends from the heavens. And Allah says, Asma, Asma Safat. Allah says, complete, so many awliya Allah passed who were lost, immersed in the definition of the names of Allah. Lost and immersed. Yes, somebody went and studied a certain name, somebody studied a certain name, they were drowned and immersed into the dhat of Allah, into His Safat, Safat of His name. Shall I continue on this point and explain in the definition of the Sufis? Say Subhanallah first. Allah Ta'ala has praised His name, glorified His name. Allah has glorified and praised His Safat, His qualities, His excellence, His splendor. When His Safati names are so great, Allah's qualities, then His personal name, what's His personal name? Allah's personal name. How great will that be? Do you understand the point I'm making here? Yes. If Allah's personal name, Allah says, when you do my dhikr, and then definitely you will arrive. Then if you recite His personal name and remember His personal name, imagine the great impact of that, the power. The power. So this is where the Naqshbandi order develops the student. The Naqshbandi bubble, it floated up. Allah Ta'ala sent the Naqshbandi Sheikh to the world, whose name was Hazrat Bahauddin Naqshbandi, Rahmatullah Alayh. Do you understand what I'm saying? Until now, we were just looking at Allah Ta'ala's names, different names. Then Allah Ta'ala injected His splendor and magnificence to show the reflection of the greatness of His personal name. So now I'm giving you a Sufi definition here, my friends. Sufi definition. So what's Allah's dhat? Allah says, all of His names are Safati. What's His dhati name? His personal name is Allah on its own. Allah. And all of those other names, and this is one name, His dhat, His personal name. And nobody can explain what is His personal name. The impact, the depth. وَذْكُرْ اسْمَ رَبِّكَ, Allah says, this is why Allah has mentioned in the Quran, Allah has given us permission that you say my name in the morning and the evening. So Hazrat Bahauddin Naqshband, he, mashallah, Allah gave him the education, the teaching of Allah's dhat, he learned the essence of Allah's personal name. So the Naqshbandi order that which teaches the students, subhanallah, the great achievement of the Naqshbandi silsala, in the Naqshbandi silsala, where it starts, then there's no Safati names of Allah. It starts from the dhat, the personal name of Allah. It teaches that to the student. And so much powerful thing is dhikr of Allah, Allah's dhat, His essence of His name. When the student, with a true heart, the way the Shaykh prescribes to him, he has full niyyah. When he sits down and he does dhikr of Allah's name, then you cannot imagine the impact of the connection that's made between the student and Allah. That person's life is suddenly transformed and improved. Because this is the dhikr of Allah's personal name. Do you understand what I'm saying? So this is Allah. Allah. And because Allah, nobody could recite Allah's name, His personal name, with the weight that it carries, Allah's jalal, the power, the glory, the impact. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with regards to His name, Allah, Hazrat Bahauddin Naqshband, Allah ta'ala allowed it to be instilled into him in such a way that he was allowed to, and he was given ijazah that he can teach the name of Allah to the students until, okay, I mean, in other words, Allah ta'ala created the tolerance within the student that he can absorb the jalal, the power of Allah. So this is jalali dhikr, the dhikr of Allah's name. This is powerful dhikr.
Allah's personal name. And this is the invitation we give to people. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yes. So this is what the student learns from the teacher, from the sheikh. And if someone takes shortcuts and deceive after learning Allah's personal name, dhikr, if you cut your beard, trim your beard, commit sins, do shaitaniyat in the dunya, you leave salah, then the punishment for that person, you cannot understand the severe punishment for that person. The punishment for that person is on a different level. Then Allah Ta'ala continues after that. Dhikrullah. So Allah says, dhikr, do my remembrance in a certain way. This is the verse, isn't it, that continues after that. Why? Allah says that leave fikr of other people. Don't think about what's happening about others. O dhakirin, those who joke and mock and jest against Allah's names. Those people who joke and mock and criticize. The Mufassirin have written that when you do dhikr, remember, like, what is dhikr? What's the benefit? There'll be very few people who will do dhikr of Allah properly. And there'll be more people who mock them and criticize them. When you do dhikr of Allah's name, there'll be people who will come, attend the gathering, they'll joke, they'll criticize, they'll snigger, they'll stop dhikr. Where dhikr is taking place in the masjid, they'll stop it. There'll be no khankas at that time. They will reject dhikr. They say, oh, get this gathering of dhikr out of here, this majlis, you're wasting time. What's the benefit of this? Get out of there. This is happening today. Tafsirs of mashayikh have written that the people who are the dhakirin, they waste the people's time. They sit in the masjids and do dhikr. They sit in their khankas and they do innovation, the people say. They're doing the wrong actions. Allah says, oh, leave these people, the time wasters. They will steer people away from the dhakirin. Allah says about those people, is this not the case? This is the case. Allah says, these people, don't worry about them. Allah says, I have understood their hisab. I've got their hisab with me personally. Let them come to the hereafter. Allah says, how will I treat them? They used to mock and oppose my dhikr, Allah says. They used to criticize my dhikr. They used to shut down my dhikr. They used to create enmity and doubt into people's hearts about dhikrullah and the gatherings of dhikrullah. And they used to take people out of the majalis and tell them not to go. For the reason that I created the masjid. Look what the Quran says. Allah says the reason why the masjid was created was for the dhikr of Allah. And you're stopping people going to the majalis. You're criticizing the majalis. The time will come when this will happen. Such a masjid in which there's no dhikr of Allah. Allah says, what masjid is that? Allah says that place becomes an empty hall. Yes. Allah says, did I create the masjid for Qawwali? Did I make a masjid for a community center? For games? Allah says that the masjid is for the dhakirin, to do dhikrullah, to remember Allah. That's why the masjid was created by Allah. Which verse is that in Surah Baqarah? I can't remember right now about this topic. Yes, Allah says there can be a bigger oppressor than this, Allah says. Yes? The brother just recited the verse. Can there be bigger oppressors than those who stop the people coming to the masjid to remember Allah? This is the verse of the Quran. Is this the case or not? So those people, Allah says, in my home, Allah says, they stop people remembering me and do my dhikr. Can there be a bigger oppressor than this? Can there be a bigger zalim than this who is deserved of punishment? A sinful person? They say, no, we are populating the masjid. Oh, there'll be this program today, tomorrow there'll be this program. This is not a place of programs. This is the place for dhikrullah, the masjid. Dhikrullah, remembrance of Allah. Not conferences and speeches. Allah says, Allahu, la ilaha illallah, subhanallah, walhamdulillah. Everywhere, every corner, every wall should vibrate this. I'm not saying this, the Quran is saying this. Is this the saying? No, the Quran, tell me. And these are zalims, oppressors who tell people, oh, get out of the masjid. They expel them from the masjid due to them doing dhikrullah. They're oppressors. So Allah says, do my dhikr, remember me. Remember me. An abundance, remember me. He says, kathir of my personal name. Naqshbandi teaching dhikr. Naqshbandi school dhikr. Allah says, there will be. Allah says, I'll create the jamaats and the teachers to teach this. Allah says that deen continues always with dhikr in parallel. Allah says, if I stop my dhikr, then the whole world will become ghafil. Say subhanallah. Allah says, today if I stop my dhikr in the world, Allah says,
Hazrat Ali Murtaza, my sheikh, if he did not send me to this country, right now we all would be ghafil in this country. Tell me the truth, honest truth. Yes, in this way you are doing dhikr of Allah's name. Tell me, what were we before? Yes, so from that village Allah Ta'ala gave ilham to the wali Allah that go and populate this land of Europe. The whole of Europe teach the dhikr of Allah. England make khankas. Yes, make khankas in Bradford, in Burnley, in Peterborough make the khanka. Make the khanka in the north. Spread the dhikr of Allah wherever it can. And you can't come here, they say you can't come here. Then through the telephone, through the mic, online, spread the dhikr of Allah around the world, Allah says. For which the purpose for what it was created is happening or not, tell me. Am I doing this? Am I doing this? Who's doing this? Allah has enabled this. Who's getting the reward? Was I announced this? My sheikh was given this instruction. And the same, this is how the deen continues through the world. Sometimes Allah picks this wali Allah picks this wali Allah to spread. Then every wali Allah, this is his objective of life, his mission. Remember, whichever wali Allah came after the Prophet ﷺ, he came with dhikrullah. Any wali Allah in the history of Islam, this world was arrived. How did Hindustan become alive? Through dhikrullah. Indian subcontinent. Dhikrullah. Hazrat Khwaja Mu'inuddin Chishti, what did he bring? He had nothing else with him. Nothing. The wali Allah has no weapon, no other tool. Nothing at all, nothing else at all. What does he have? The wali Allah. Dhikrullah is what he teaches to the people. When dhikr of Allah he brings, then the Quran comes, salah comes, and zakat comes, and hajj comes, and the mu'min starts to practice, the flowers start to grow, the sunnah starts to be practiced. When dhikrullah is taught. Am I right or am I wrong? Tell me. So Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran that Allah says the dead barren land I make it come alive with rain, and the dead heart I make it come alive with dhikrullah. Dhikrullah. So any human being, believer, first if he wants his heart to become alive, the Quran is telling us the method. Any human being wants his heart to become alive and he wants to come out of the life of laziness and ignorance and he wants to follow Allah's orders and instructions, then go put your hand in the hand of a wali Allah and learn the dhikrullah. Today in this day and age, the best solution, if you want to take the silsila, the best school of teaching is the Naqshbandi order. Stick yourself to that order and learn the dhikr from that order. This is the best silsila in the world today for this day and age, which will continue till Qiyamah, is the Naqshbandi order, which will save the believer. I'm not saying because I'm the teacher, I'm Chishti as well, I'm Qadri as well, I'm Surwardi as well. I've got ijazah in all of these four salasil, the four schools, and all four, they are nur and light in the eyes. But if you want to see in this day and age, in this era, what will give most benefit to the believers, what has the greatest impact, because our objective is to spread the deen. Right now, in this age, in this era, what silsila has Allah selected? Because we need to run with Allah's selection. Not what we, our grandfathers did, our forefathers did. Because they lived amongst the disbelievers. Remember this always. Always remember this point. Don't follow your desires. Follow what Allah Ta'ala is giving to us as the tool for this day and age. And Allah Ta'ala selected this silsila, Naqshbandi order, in the final days. Why? Because Allah's hikmah, Allah knows best that this era we're living in is fast-paced, speedy. For this era Allah created this silsila, Naqshbandi order, to spread the deen. That's why Allah Ta'ala instilled the color of the deen into this order. We don't reject any other order, any other school, but Allah selected this order. Not that they're better, they're greater, this is smaller. No, what we need to see is our islah, development, improvement will be with Allah's ismi dhat, his personal name, not his characteristics. Not his 99 names, his personal name, because we are living in a most dangerous era. Dajjal will arrive. And Dajjal's fitnas are here. And to fight against Dajjal's fitnas, we need Allah's personal name. The impact. So come out of the deception. Oh, our grandfathers used to do this dhikr, our forefathers. Come out of that and do right now what Allah wants you to do. And have fikr, concern for your own islah, your rectification, improvement. Have worry for your own islah. Do you understand what I'm saying today, everything I've said? Have you understood what I've said? Yes. So what have we understood? We go through the points. The ghafil insan is the most dangerous individual, is the lazy person. If a believer says lazy, ignorant from his tongue, he's dangerous. Because laziness, I'm lazy, I can't do this, I don't feel like. Consider he's going towards Jahannam. Jahannam. There's no imagination that there's iman there. Ghaflat, ghafil, laziness, ignorance. If you feel that, you're lazy, and then straight away goes towards the solution. What's the solution for ghaflat? Allah has given us the cure. And what is the cure? Dhikrullah. Remembrance of Allah. That's it. how much successful you are, what's your niyyah, your intention. We have no concern. Close your eyes. We have to see, is I'm in a dangerous mode of life. Let me take the solution. How much I can do, I'll make effort and work hard on that path. And don't turn back, and don't turn back, and don't look back. Inshallah. Inshallah. Keep trying. Keep making effort. Not this, that, oh, I'm trying, and I keep doing the sins, and I do dhikr. No. Keep trying. Shun the sins. Make promise to yourself. Promise to your teacher. And the shaykh takes the promises from the student. It doesn't, cannot be that there's a murid and there's a student of mine, he doesn't pray in salah in jamaat. He cannot be my murid. If I see a student who shaves or trims his beard, he has no connection with my jamaat. His bath finishes at that time. Yes? No connection with me, that person. Yes? No, I have nothing to give or take from that person. Question doesn't arise. Murid is that student who runs with the shaykh in parallel, who obeys the instruction of the shaykh. Yes, we commit sins. Of course we commit sins. If you can make a mistake, accept it, admit it. Shaykh will do dua for you. You do dua for yourself. Pick yourself up. It won't be that you won't ever commit sins. All of us will commit sins. You fall down, you stumble, the nafs, we obey. But don't play games though. Don't try to trick, otherwise you become a monkey. And Abel says, I'll make you a monkey. A dog, a swine, like the pig. Allah has given the example in the Quran. They all died like monkeys and apes, those people who tried to trick me. If you make a mistake, accept it, admit it, you've got the shaykh, you've got the guide for this reason. Shaykh sahab, my teacher, my nafs, it preyed on me, I made a mistake, do dua for me so I can try again. Take the cure again, start again. Say subhanallah. Do you understand the points I made today? Yes. Not this, you just sit down, give up, I'm doing dhikr, I'm doing dhikr. Dhikr won't give you benefit on its own. Dhikr on its own will give you benefit. Dhikr doesn't give benefit. The result of dhikr is what gives you benefit. Do you understand? Dhikr isn't the objective. The dhikr is the means. If you're weak, you commit the sins again with your eyes, your hands. You've made promises. Shaykh sahab, I'm doing bayah with you. And I promise that I will leave the sins. X, Y, Z. This is the tariqah. Allah has given the verse in Surah Mumtahana that the believing women will come to your Prophet of Allah, take their promises, and then you do the same sins again. Curse on that person. 10,000 curses on that person. He makes bayah, he does tawbah, then he comes back to the shaykh and he's making drama, doing sins, and you are walking around with a lanati curse appearance. How, which with the niyat have you come back? That you are a modest person. No shame. No shame, no haya. That I've just promised and I left and I do the same sins again and then I sit again and openly I do this. Yaar, there's some limit to the sin you do, isn't it? There should be some limit. So when you come and you take the hand of a shaykh, you do tawbah, you make the promises, nothing to worry about. Then you start practicing the deen. If your nafs deceives you, your desires deceive you and trick you, run back again towards tawbah. Raju ila Allah. Turn back to Allah via the shaykh, the teacher. Open up, open your account, say, shaykh, I did zina, I committed adultery. Did the sahaba ikram not come to the Prophet? Oh, Prophet of Allah, I've done zina. Are there not events in the history of Islam? So where did they go when they committed the sin? They went back to the Nabi. This is the education. That when you're a student, you commit the sins, go back to your shaykh and admit to your mistakes. He will give you a cure, give you some advice. Why are you hiding? Why do you take shortcuts? Oh, my shaykh won't find out. Carrying on doing haram. He won't know I didn't pray salah. Hazrat sahab doesn't know, but your Rabb knows. If Allah knows, then he will explain to the shaykh through the ilham. Can he not explain? Can he not unravel? Allah Ta'ala, does Allah not have the power to share the knowledge that he can tell the teacher? No? Does Allah not have the power? Say it now, does Allah have the power or not? Tell me. Then, if Allah makes somebody a teacher, then Allah gives that teacher some capacity, ability. If 10,000, 15,000 students the shaykh has and they're students of thereafter and he's educating them, then has Allah not given him some capacity, ability, nur and light and guidance that he can teach the students? Say subhanallah. Subhanallah. Then why do you hide from that person? Why do you trick that person? Why do you try hide from that person? Yeah? Well, just be honest. I've done zina, shaykh. I've committed theft. I've stolen. Today my eyes have looked at the wrong thing. I've done this sin again today. Today I've lied again. I've eaten haram again. And you keep on eating haram, haram, haram. Keep eating Allahu, Allahu in parallel. What's this? Then that person become a monkey. He's deceiving Allah. Do you know what Allah Ta'ala said in the Quran? That person who has deceived the shaykh, he has deceived me. Is this not the case? Oh my Nabi, this person who's given the hand in your hand, his hand's coming to my hand, Allah says. And this is the case. This is the sawar. What is bayah? Pledging allegiance. The Quran has told us that when the student is bayah in the hand of the sheikh, then the hand goes to from the sheikh to Ali Murtaza, back in the chain of the sheikhs, Abu Bakr Sadiq to the Prophet of Allah Sallam, to Allah Subhanahu wa Taala. That's the objective of bayah. This is bayah. So today you are not deceiving your sheikh, your teacher. You are not doing bayah to your sheikh. You've gone right up the chain to the top in your allegiance. Say Subhanallah. Very great rewards Allah has given for these people who are sincere, who follow this line of the deen for the islah. These are those people who have come to do the islah. Such great, great rewards Allah has given for these people who practice the deen for the islah that you cannot imagine. Allah says, you cannot imagine the rewards I've set aside. You cannot imagine. Success is complete for such people who make the effort. Allah says that I've given them success, not on the result. Allah says, you keep on falling, you keep on sinning, you stand up. You keep on sinning, you stand up. You commit the sin, you keep doing tawbah. If you go back to your teacher, admit. You commit the sin, Allah says, if you come back to me like this, I'll open the doors of paradise for you. No worries. But don't be a person who tricks and deceives and cheats, who frauds. Don't hide your sins. Don't do haram and show people that you're pious. This is hypocrisy, munafiqat. This is playing games with Allah. And now I've already told the examples of these people. That those who play games with Allah, what did Allah do to that qawm? They kept on sinning, they put the veils, the carpets, they were making their nafs happy. But Allah knows everything about your each and every sin. Remember this. And the punishment is what? Allah says, in the hereafter I'll make you naked, exposed. In the hereafter you'll be exposed, naked. Do you understand what I'm saying, brothers? Do you understand my words today? Yes. So now, to summarize, Allah says, if you want to get rid of laziness, ignorance, go straight and find a wali Allah, a sheikh, a teacher, who is a wali Allah. That person, when you are in his company, then you have love for that person for the sake of Allah. And if you don't have love for that person, he cannot be your teacher. He will be a normal person for you. Remember this. Even if he's a big, big sheikh, if you don't have love for him, yes, everyone's going and taking his hand, you go as well. For example, everyone's taking his hand, but you don't have love for that person, then you'll get no benefit from that teacher. Do you understand what I'm saying? This is a condition. If it's a minor sheikh, not well known, no fame, not recognized in the world, and you go and you have love for that person suddenly, then he becomes the greatest sheikh for you. So the real connection, cause of success, is the love between the student and the teacher. If you don't have love for the teacher, then he's not your teacher. You won't draw the benefit from that teacher. Allah says, do the dua. Oh Allah, the Prophet of Allah said, ask Allah for his love and ask Allah for the love of those people that he loves. So ask Allah for the love between you and the teacher. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yes. What great points I'm telling you. Imagine these points if we were to start to discuss them. So read this and listen to these words. This is the preparation for the hereafter, the islah we've done today. Get rid of negligence, ignorance. For that, go to a wali Allah. Learn dhikr Allah from him. And dhikr is the one solution that Allah has recommended. Fadubiha Allah says, do my dhikr, that's it. And then Allah says, I'll get rid of your laziness, ignorance, and all of your issues will be evaporated. You keep trying, make effort. Allah says, I'll open the doors of paradise for you. Wa akhru dawana and alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Okay, now let's do some dhikr of Allah.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah, salatu wassalamu ala sayyidi al-mursalin. Shafi'i al-Muslimin, ta'ahu wa yasin al-habib al-nabil. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin nabil ammiji, suhajiji, ma'at al-mu'mini. Azaliyyatihi bahna ba'dihi, kuma salli ta'ahu ala Ibrahim. إنك حميد مجيد سلم تسليما دائما أبدا كثيرا كثيرا اللهم اغفر لنا ذنوبنا وظلمنا أصلنا وجدنا خطونا عمدنا وكل ذلك عندنا اللهم ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار قنا عذاب القبر قنا عذاب الحشر قنا عذاب الميزان وادخلنا الجنة مع الأبرار يا عزيز يا غفار يا رب العالمين اللهم نسلك الأفلا في المحفظة بالدين والدنيا والأهل المال اللهم إنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك اللهم أهدنا الصراط المستقيم اللهم أهدنا الصراط المستقيم اللهم اهد الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين النبيين استقين شهداء حسن اللائق فيك يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث يا قاضي الحاجات اقض حاجاتنا يا دافع المرجات اشف مرجاتنا يا شافي المرض اشف مرضنا يا شافي المرض اشف مرضنا ربنا هب لنا من ازواجنا وذرياتنا قرة اعين واجعلنا للمتقين اماما اللهم رب ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا اللهم رب ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا اللهم رب ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا يا الله تمام مؤمنين کی مغفرت فرما جن کا بھی انتقال ہوا تھا ان کے لیے دعا فرمائے اللہ تعالیٰ ان کی مغفرت فرمائے اور جتنے لوگوں میں انتقال ہوا ہے سب کو اللہ تعالیٰ ان کی مغفرت فرمائے یا اللہ تو ہمارے سب کے ماں باپ کی سب کے ماں لواقین کی مغفرت فرما پوری امت کی مغفرت فرما وصلی اللہ تعالیٰ علی خیر خلقہ نور عرشہ زینت فرشہ وعلیہ صحبہ اجمعین برحمتک یا ارحم الراحمین سبحان ربک رب العزۃ عما یصفون وسلام علی المرسلین والحمد للہ رب العالمین آمین.